Okay, welcome everybody. Rabbi Jay wrote me that he's not here today. He's traveling. So he put me in charge. So if you have any technical questions, you can ask me those also. Hopefully there won't be any. There was a couple of questions last week about, actually very good questions, about how a female is able to do Korban Pesach according to Chumash, because Chumash says, if you're a stranger and you want to bring a Korban Pesach, you have to do circumcision and then you can bring it. And we suggested last week that that act of bringing circumcision basically is not just a technicality to the Passover, but rather it means you have to convert. And once you're converted, then you can eat the Passover. And we suggested that doing circumcision is an act of conversion. Then the question is, how about a female where there's no circumcision? So we'll see in halacha, you know, the rabbis, when they deal with that, they say you need what's called tefillah, you need immersion. But the whole idea that you need immersion seems to be rabbinic. Now, we'll see in a minute, the Rambam says it's Kabbalah. It's a halacha, sort of a halacha the Moshe Messina that we have. But I'm going to try and show you. I did a lot of research on it this week. There's a lot of thinking about it. What I'm going to suggest, we'll do this, we're going to dedicate a separate share to this when the first part of the series is over, because it ties into it. We'll talk about conversion itself. But the idea that not only do you have to do circumcision to become Jewish, you also have to have conversion. Even a male needs conversion. Gemara Nivamas talks about it, as we'll see. But why do we need conversion? Everything goes back to covenant. And the reason we explain why circumcision is critical is because the first covenant that God makes with Avraham Avinu, B'Shem Elokim, is circumcision. And the word brit there is a brit olam. And the theme of brit milah returns at brit Sinai, at the Sinai covenant. We see it in Brit Nitzavim at the end of Chumash, at the end of Sefer Dvarim. And therefore, it makes sense that to become Jewish, you have to relive one of the events of Mount Sinai. So if you look carefully at what happened in Mount Sinai, we're going to see that there was a need to wash up in preparation for Brit Sinai. And even though it says you have to wash your clothes, we'll see how when the Torah talks about washing clothes, the connection between washing clothes and washing yourself. Anyway, we have to do a lot of work on it. We're not going to do it today. I'm just going to show you one Rambam, and then we'll start today's shir in a minute. I just want to show you the Rambam that talks about it. I'll share my screen real fast. And the Rambam in the laws of Korban Pesach, in Sefer Korbanot, it says as follows, "Kishem shemilat atzmo makevet." Just like a person has to circumcise himself, has to be circumcised to bring the Korban Pesach, to the Pesach, he also has to have his children circumcised, even if they're not bar mitzvah yet. Umilat kol avadav, all the servants have to be circumcised, whether they're adults or children. All verses in Sefer Bereshit, it all holds them back from bringing Korban Pesach. In other words, anyone who is required by you to be circumcised also holds not only that person, it holds you back from bringing the Korban Pesach. Okay, Shneimar, and we quote from we read last week in Shmot, Imolo Kol Zachar. We'll deal with this later in the Shir. And Bim Shechad Kodem Shimolotam, if he did, he shechted the Passover beforehand, the Pesach is possible. Now, then he says as follows, and this is what we are looking for. The Chein Tfilat Amahotav, that's his female maidservants. Therefore, also the immersion, Tfilah, of his maidservants, the Shem of Dut, to be an Eved for him, that would say, to enter the household, also holds him back. In other words, if he has a female slave, he has to make sure that she does immersion, she does mikvah, in order for him able to be at Korban Pesach. But how do we know that? The davar zeh mipia kabbalah, shatfila l'shvahot kibila l'avadim. Okay, from the Kabbalah, which is sort of our Jewish tradition, is that immersion or tefillah or mikvah for shvahot is like mila l'avadim. So we see that whenever there's not a possibility of doing circumcision, you need at least immersion. You need at least tefillah. Now, that's based on the Gemara Nivamas, which we'll do in a separate shir. I'll just show you quickly the sugi in Nivamas. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Bimot Menalan. How do we know that amahot, maidservants, need tefillah? Svarahu. It says far away. Dimkein b'mandi chesu tachat kanfei hashchina. He says they can't do nothing. They have to do something. So if there's no act of circumcision, it can't be they do nothing, they automatically become Jewish. But rather, there must be some act, and that's going to be immersion. What makes immersion, you know, it's why dafka is mikvah, again, has to be mikvah with in mind, with the intention of becoming Jewish. Why dafka that? We have to study what happened in Brit Sinai and Mount Sinai and the laws in Vayikra later on about Tumah and Tara. And that'll help us understand why mikvah is so central. And the same thing, we know when a convert converts, it's not enough to do circumcision, he also has to do milah. He also has to do tefillah. And that's all sugya, which we'll spend the whole shiur on. Okay, that was just to answer the question that came up last week. And now we're going to start today's shiur from scratch. It's been 5 minutes into this shiur, so we can, hopefully everyone who's online should be here. I'm going to share the source sheet one last time. There we go. Oh, it's snowing in upstate New York. Okay, not in New York. And I'm going to share my source sheet one more time, the link. Okay, that's the link to the source sheet. And okay, we're up to the regular participants, so we can start. Okay, so today is class number 4 in our series. Here we go. It's Converse of Strangers. Who does the Torah care about? Class number 4. Today is a stranger in Sefer Vayikra. And the rest of the title I should have put on here. How could a ger, or why is a ger chayv karet? Remember, we talked about that briefly. We'll do it today in detail. We're going to find the punishment of karet for a ger, for a stranger, who does a transgression. And the question we ask, how could the Torah obligate someone who's not Jewish about anything? That was the theoretical question. And if he is Jewish, why mention him? He should be like everybody else. But we're going to see that whenever we mention a ger, many times that has an obligation, it almost always comes in the context of a prohibition of karet. So that'll be our topic today, and we'll get started. Okay. So we'll start like we do every week. We're going to go back to our chart of the 67 times the ger is mentioned in Chumash. That was our introduction. Week 2, we talked about the 2 times in Sefer Bereshit, and we talked about primarily Ben Aptarim, how the stranger is the centrality of the stranger in the story of Israel, and how important it is how we treat the stranger, and that's how we sanctify God and the society that we build. In Sefer Shemot, we saw last week, the main thing we talked about was Korban Pesach, and the law of Pesach for a stranger. We suggested that was the talich, that was the process of conversion to become Jewish, and we tried to explain why. We're going to need that for today's shiur as well. We'll return to it today. And then we saw in the second half of the shiur where the ger and Parshat Mishpatim, which forms the bookends of the ethical section of laws that follows the Ten Commandments, almost for sure that's a stranger who did not convert. And because it's always followed by, because you were strangers in Egypt, it's just like we were outsiders in Egypt. So the ger among us must be an outsider. So therefore, when we have a commandment not to mistreat a stranger and not to cheat him, it has to be including, for sure, someone who converted, but even someone who didn't convert, we're obligated to be nice to him. Okay. Today we're going to do Sefer Vayikra, 21 times. And Vayikra is the most complicated of all of them, and maybe also Bamidbar. And therefore, we have to do each one carefully. We probably need 2 weeks for Vayikra. We'll see how far we get today. I'll ask Rabbi J permission to maybe do 2 weeks of Vayikra and Bamidbar together. Okay, so just a quick review. What was our main distinction we made? We call that a chiluk. What we suggested over the last several weeks was that whenever we find an obligation to care for the ger, our obligation, when we are obligated, the Jewish people are obligated to care for a stranger, that includes someone who did not convert, any stranger, even a non-convert. And whenever we find an obligation of a ger to keep a law, whenever there's either a prohibition or something he's obligated to do, that we say has to be someone who converted. And we're going to return to that. Today we're going to see what almost every time there's an obligation of the stranger, especially when it's a prohibition, we find the punishment of karet if he does it, and the karet, he's being cut off from his nation. Okay? Now, how can he be cut off from our nation if he's not Jewish? And that was our logic. He must be a convert. And in contrast, when an obligation is to the stranger, it can apply to any stranger, even a convert or a Gentile, someone who converted or someone who didn't convert. Now, what we're going to do now, we're going to view I don't know if we'll cover all of them. There's 21 times in Sefer Vayikra we have a law about a ger, and we're going to go through them. And the most surprising one, I'm going to review them now, and then we'll do them with English and Hebrew later. I'm just doing the Hebrew to see them. The first time we have it, it's in chapter 16. In the laws of Yom Kippur, after the whole ritual of Yom Kippur is over with the Kohen Gadol, we're told as follows, this law of the Kohen Gadol's Avodah on Yom Kippur, the special service, we do it every year in the seventh month on the 10th day. We have to fast on those days. And you can't know it's, we have to do Inui Nefesh, which is recorded also in later in Parshat Emor, in chapter 23. And no work could be done. We're forbidden to do work on Yom Kippur. Who's forbidden to do work? And who has to do Inui Nefesh? Who has to fast? Ha'ezrach, the citizen, and the ger agar b'tochachem, and the stranger among you. And it's only logical, we pointed out, that this must be talking about a convert. But the question is, if he's converted, why should he be chayav in Yom Kippur? So every time we find an obligation of a stranger who is converted, of a convert, for a law, and we don't have it for all the 613, we only have it for some of them, there must be a reason why he's mentioned. That's why, because otherwise mention it once, that would be enough. Can anyone think of a reason why someone might think a convert would not be obligated in Yom Kippur? Think about it for a minute. I'll give you an example. We said that a ger, a converted ger, is obligated, he's forbidden to have chametz. Remember, he can't eat chametz, and he's chayv karet if he eats chametz. We saw that in Shmuel chapter 12. Now, what would be the logic in thinking, so Chumash has to tell us he is obligated, with that he had the prohibition of chametz, he's included in that. Why would someone think a convert is not obligated in chametz? Give me a simple reason.
Because he's not mentioned. It's not mentioned, Hager. If it was not mentioned, then you could assume that it was he's not responsible because it was mentioned with Pesach. So
if he converted, why do I have to mention him? Why would I think he's not obligated? He's not prohibited in having chametz. What's his status as a stranger? Why would that make him patur? Why would it make him not obligated to about chametz?
Because he never left Egypt.
Exactly.
With us.
That's my point. Every time we find an obligation, we're going to consider maybe there's a reason, there's a havamina. Maybe there's some reason why someone might think he's not obligated. And come tell you, and then we're coming to tell you he is obligated, even though you think he might not be obligated. So that would make sense for something related to Yisat Mitzrayim, to leaving Egypt, which would be the laws of chametz. Now, how about Yom Kippur? Why is Yom Kippur on the 10th day of the 7th month? What happened on that day?
He never participated in the Egel.
So it could be just like he was never at Har Sinai, but maybe he wasn't in Chet Egel. If Yom Kippur, if the Midot of Rachamim, that the second Brit is necessary, if we need Kapara for Chet Egel, and that Kapara was given, when Moshe came down with the second Luchot, it could be because he wasn't involved in Chet Egel, maybe he doesn't need the fast of Yom Kippur. That's one thing. And if I follow the Book of Jubilees, the reason they give is that Mechirat Yosef, the brothers sold Yosef on Yom Kippur, and maybe that's why we need atonement. So he wasn't involved in the selling of Yosef. You would say that then maybe only the 11 tribes would be, then why is Bin Yamin Chai? But again, it's a brother, that's just another Havamina. Okay. We're not going to follow that direction. I just wanted to bring that up as a possibility, that maybe there's something special. For each case, we have to think maybe there's some reason why someone might think he's not obligated, and we tell you he is obligated. We're going to suggest a very different reason later on, but notice that the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that a ger is obligated in Yom Kippur. Some commentators, if we have a chance, we'll see them later. I'm pretty sure not Ebenezer here, but in another place, Ebenezer mentions this, that even though he's not Jewish, this might be talking about a ger who's not Jewish. Okay, we're not going to follow that direction, but many commentators go in that direction. It's talking about a ger who didn't convert, but because he's living in our society, similar to the laws of Shabbat for a stranger. Yom Kippur is this national holiday. If you're living among us, you have to fast at Yom Kippur as well, which is rather strange, but that's a possibility. Now, the next case is Vayikra Yudzayin, which we're going to do in detail, about the laws of what's called Shchut Techutz. If you bring a korban, it has to be brought to the Mishkan, and you can't bring a sacrifice outside the Mishkan. Okay, talking about a sacrifice to God. So again, why mention again the ger? We have to talk about that. The next case also in chapter, like four times in chapter 17, so we won't do chapter 17 in detail. But pay attention, in chapter 16 and in chapter 17, what is always the phrase? Hager agar betochachem or agar betocham. Betochem or betocham, amongst you, is always going to be emphasized in all these cases. So this is what's called shchut echutz, shechting outside the mikdash. I'll do this quickly. We'll see them inside later on. Eating blood. Now, is a ben Noach, is a Noachite, is he permitted to eat blood or not? What do you remember from?
No, he's not allowed to eat blood.
He can't have Evar Min HaChai.
Evar Min HaChai you cannot get.
Yeah, a non-Jew, but is he allowed to eat blood? After the animal's dead?
Yes, why not?
Okay, so we're going to talk about that, okay? This is not in the seven Noachai laws. Seven Noachai includes Evar Min HaChai, but not the prohibition of eating dam. And also notice, what's the punishment? Karet. And be careful, Ramah. We'll talk about that soon. Now, and again, we have ger again about blood, and we mentioned the ger again, twice with blood. Then there's a law about what's called kisui adam. If you not an animal, not a behemah, which could be a korban, but if you eat a chaya, a wild animal, and you shecht the ones that are kosher, you have to cover the blood. Okay? So a ger is obligated in that. Is a non-Jew obligated? I don't think so. It's not in the seven Noachai laws. Now, this is one of the strongest examples. If a person eats an avela, remember, an avela, a Jew is not allowed to eat. It's forbidden to eat it. And if we do have it, we feed it to a goy, we said. We see that later in Dvarim. But if you accidentally eat it without realizing it's an avela or a treifa, be you an ezrach or a ger, you have to wash your clothes and your tamei. You become ritually impure and you can't go to the mikdash. So is that a law? That seems to be only a law for someone who's Jewish. So, and why do we again have to mention the ger? So we have to talk about all these cases in chapter 17. Okay? Now, in chapter 18, we have what's called the arayot, the forbidden relationships. Now, there's arayot for Bnei Noach. You know, the children of Noach have forbidden relationships, but it's the immediate family, not the same as that we have. At least that's what the Rambam Paskins in, later we'll see in the end of Mishneh Torah in Hilchot Shoftim. So we have to see that as well. And again, another law, which applies only to the ger, we'll see that there's, when we do it inside, we'll see that there's karet involved. Okay. So again, in all these cases, it always says a ger betocham. A ger betocham, a ger betochachem, betocham, betocham, all in chapters 16 and 17. And keep that in mind. And we're going to claim all those cases is talking about someone who converted, and they all include some framework of a chiyuv of karet being cut off from the people. But again, they're all the obligation of the stranger himself. He's obligated, and therefore he must be Jewish. That was our conclusion. But we have to explain why specifically these laws are pointed out. Now, when we get to chapter 19, Kedoshim to you, it talks about leket shicha and peah. When you bring your harvest, we'll see this inside. Okay? You have, don't take everything in your harvest. Leave it for the poor, for the stranger. Leave it for them, like in Megillat Rut. Does that include a stranger? Well, if you read Megillat Rut, it must, because Rut did not convert yet. And she's collecting in the field of Boaz. So this law, for sure, according to Boaz, applied to someone who didn't convert. So therefore, that must be talking about a girl who didn't convert. And at the end, we're going to see this in detail. Should there be stranger among you, treat him like an Ezrach. And we have to, what's a ger gar itchem going to mean? We have to talk about that. And we'll talk about after lo kamocha. We'll spend a lot of time on this as we go on. That's chapter 19.
Why did you say she didn't convert yet?
We'll see why. We're going to study chapter 19 in detail, but we'll see why. Because this is our obligation to the ger. And our rule of thumb is, if it's the obligation of the ger, it's a convert. If it's our obligation to the ger, it's not. It includes a non-convert. That's going to be our contention, and we have to prove it in every case.
But excuse me, in biblical time, actually until a few hundred, 200 years ago, you didn't have the sort of formal conversion that you have today.
That's what they tell you. That's what all the academics tell you. Yeah, everyone in academia tells you There's no such thing as conversion until Second Temple period.
Or even later, hardly. Because no, no. Living in the place gave you your religion.
You have in the Septuagint, and you have in Sefer HaMakabim, you have tons of conversion in Second Temple literature. And definitely in the Gemara, you have it for sure. In the Talmud, you have laws of conversion for sure. But my claim is that if you read Chumash carefully, there's a clear concept of a Ger Tzedek. Now, the type of conversion that we do, I try to base it on Korban Pesach, on the laws of Pesach, that you have to do circumcision. In a later show, I'll tell you why it might even include in Pshat, why you need to do Tefillah, ritual immersion as well. When we learn the laws of Tum and Tara, the main thing we're going to learn it from the laws of the 7 days of Miluim, but that's really complicated, but I have to do it requires a whole share to prove it.
Now, again, I was referring to Rut.
In Rut?
You mentioned Rut, and you said that's this right. Was before she converted, but I thought she converted when she made that big speech to Naomi at the beginning.
Oh, when she said, Mecha, me, oh, I see what you
yes.
mean.
Yes, yeah.
I don't think that was a... I don't think that's formal conversion. I mean, she definitely didn't do tefillah. And he calls her, and everyone calls her a ger, right? Yeah. So that's the question. Does marriage to a Jew make you a ger? Yeah. We're going to see we'll see later on in Vayikra, there's a Egyptian man who married a Jewish woman. That's later in Vayikra. Who curses God. That's the whole story there. Is he Jewish or not? And all the commentators deal with that. But you're right. Now, in our tradition, we claim that when she says "Amich Ami Elohai Elohai," that's a statement of her intention. The question is your intention in your mind, is that enough, or do you need some physical act to make it official? Do you follow? Now, what's going to happen? And this happens a lot. Let me turn off the with the laws of Korban Pesach as well. Let me do the check the. I'm going to check the chat in a minute. I'll take a little break. But I'll give a really bad example when you learn getting. Okay? So when you give a get, right, you have to have in mind that the get is for the purpose of divorce. Got it? Now, let's say you just hand someone a divorce document. They have no intention of divorcing. Got it? Is it binding? Ask your local rabbi. You know, let's say you're doing a Purim spiel, right? And you have a kosher get, okay? And in a Purim spiel, you give it to your wife as part of a Purim spiel with no real intention. You know, what do you do? How about the opposite? Let's say in your mind, someone decided, I want a divorce, got it? But did no official document. Are you halakhically considered that's so you need both of them, don't you? But one alone is not enough. Notice every time. You're going to change your status. The same thing when you do if a non-Jew does circumcision for health reasons or just for whatever his custom is, or someone Islam does it, that doesn't make him Jewish. It's only if you do circumcision for the purpose of conversion. So you need thought. So it could be that when Ruth says that, that's a statement of her intention. But I don't think it makes her officially Jewish. You need some type of formal act. Now, let me just check the chat real fast. I see there's a whole bunch of things here. Okay, not involved Chet Egel. He didn't try to leave Egypt. Okay, we talked about these. On the first day, Gero says no students. Okay, on the first day, but maybe afterwards he's Chayav Yom Kippur. That's a good point. Okay, everyone said Chet Egel. That's very good. Okay, good. So we didn't miss anything there. And now we can continue. I'll go back and screen. Okay, let me close the chat. And let's open up my screen. And now we're going to do, we're going to review again the rest of the times in Vayikra and then see them in detail. Okay, that's chapter 19. Chapter 20, chapter 20 is the laws of Molech, we have to see. We'll see that has to be someone who converted. Chapter 20, we'll see. A little complicated and Arayot there as well. And then chapter 22. Also, a lot about a korban. We have to see that, what that's talking about. Chapter 23, these are obligations of the stranger, and therefore we're going to say he's converted. Chapter 28 is, again, we have to leave our harvest. We have to leave the leftovers of a harvest. Okay, that's obligation of the ger, therefore, even if he didn't convert. What happens if a ger says God's name in vain or curses God? We'll see. That's his obligation. As we'll see later in chapter 24, we'll have to do those in detail. Chapter 25 is the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. I doubt we'll get that far today. So now we're going to start now in detail with chapter 17. We talked about Yom Kippur. And again, on Yom Kippur, just pay attention. Go back. That was the first case in Sefer Vayikra. Just notice the word. He'ezrach v'ager gar b'tochachem. And it's his obligation. He's obligated to keep Yom Kippur. Fast and not to do work. And therefore, our assumption is because it's his obligation and the phrase is ager gar b'tochachem, it must be someone who converted. Now, let's continue. Let's go now to chapter 17 with English Hebrew and take them carefully. Ve'alem tomar. We're reading chapter 17. The following law. Tell the people of Israel as follows. Ish ish bebet Yisrael umin hager gar betocham. That's our phrase. That's a giveaway. This is an obligation. And it's a ger who's in their midst. Should he bring a sacrifice? Ve'petach omei lo levieno. But he doesn't bring it to the Mishkan to bring it a korban. His punishment is karet. Now, why am I including a ger? If he's Jewish, he should be like everybody else. Why is Chumash going out of its way to say this applies to a ger as well? What's the havamina that a ger would be allowed to bring a korban outside? That was his old minhag or something? Yeah. There seems to be no reason, if he's a convert, why to have to specify his obligation as well. But for some reason, we're giving his obligation. So that's number one. But that's called shchutei chutz. It's a special law, but for some reason, we're including the ger. But remember, his punishment is karet. This is our main topic today. Now, what's the next law? The ish ish mi beit Yisrael, right after, we're just going in order. V'ish ish mi beit Yisrael min hager gar betocham, the same title. Asher yochal kol dam, if you eat blood, God will be angry with that person, eating blood. And I'm going to cut v'echrat yoto mikar v'mol. Again, if you have a karet. Again, if it's an obligation, it's a hager gar betocham, my assumption is it's a convert. Because in the Noahite laws, you can't have Abram and Achai, but it seems to be okay to eat dam. Okay? Now, there's a reason. Ki nefesh ha-basar b'damhu, v'ani netati lechem al ha-mizbeach. I gave this blood for you. It seems like you, the Jewish people, on the Mizbeach, for kapara. Okay? And therefore, amati livnei Yisrael, ko nefesh ha-kodot tocho dam, and the ger b'tochachem. That was the people of Israel, including those who convert. So I'm assuming it's not for Bnei Noach, it's only for us. And again, the question is, why have to mention the ger again? But again, what's the punishment? The punishment is karet. Remember, v'chrat yoto mikar v'amo. So that's why I'm mentioning the ger even twice here. Now, then we have a law, not a negative prohibition, but something, I mean, a positive commandment. If someone from Israel or a ger, okay, who hunts a wild animal, okay, and you kill it, what do you have to do? You have to, what's called kisui adam, you have to cover it with dirt, right? With the same reason. Ki nevesh kobasar b'damo v'afsho v'amar d'vin yisrael dam kobasar lo tochelu. Okay? Ko nevesh kobasar damohi ko chladi karet. Because if you eat dam, you chayv karet, therefore you have to cover the blood. But again, we have a prohibition and an obligation, a prohibition for eating the dam, an obligation to cover it, all in the context of a chiv of karet. Again, I'm including the ger. And then finally, anyone among the Jewish people who eats the nevela or a trefa, be it ezrach or ger, we said ezrach is someone who owns land and a ger, someone, even someone who doesn't own land but a convert, he has to wash his clothes and he's tameh. Now, I'll show you later in the Rambam, the concept of tumah only applies to a Jew. But there's no laws of tumah for non-Jews. And if it becomes Tameh, he has to be someone who's Jewish who converted. Again, why mention him? That's a good question. But maybe because when he was, before he converted, he was allowed to eat in the Vela. Maybe we have to mention, maybe that's the reason we want to mention him. But again, we find over and over again, all these laws, and all these are obligations of the stranger. All of them are in the framework of a chiyuv karet, of a prohibition, but the punishment is karet. And they're all together in chapter 17. What's my contention? These are all talking about people who converted, a convert. And the question again is, why am I mentioning over and over again the ger? No. I'm just going to jump right ahead to, I want to jump right ahead to my conclusion that we've mentioned in the first year, just go over it quickly. My contention is almost the opposite. It's not that all these obligations include the ger, but almost every time that there's an obligation for the Jewish people where the punishment is karet, where you're cut off from your people, we include the ger. And my claim was, is that what Chumash is doing, and this maybe sounds a little strange, but that's what I want to try to suggest, is that because there's such a logical reason in thinking that we don't accept strangers, to the point that's what all the academics say. All the academics say there's no such thing as conversion. There can't be conversion. Just like a Yisrael can't become a Kohen, a non-Jew can't become Jewish. And this is something that came up in the Second Temple period, this idea of conversion. But in biblical times, there is no conversion. There's just laws for strangers living among you. But there's no, but they don't have the status of being Jewish. Our claim was, no, they are Jewish. But because there's so much logic and thinking, you can't become Jewish. Chumash wants to tell you, when you do convert, when you do bring Korban Pesach and convert and do Milah, you're part of the nation. And the fact that you can be cut off from the nation, whenever there's a Chiyuv Karet, whenever, which is where you're cut off from your people, we purposely mention the ger to emphasize he's part of our people. That's sort of my chiddush that I'm trying to sell in the series. I'm not sure if it's right, but that's what my contention is going to be. Now, because I showed you all through chapter 17 and 16, what was the? They're all obligations of the stranger, and every time we have the phrase "agar gar b'tochachem o b'tocham" in their midst, we don't find that phrase in other places. We didn't find that in our obligation to the stranger. Vaftem et agar, not agar asher b'tochachem or something like that. When it's talking about obligation to the stranger, it doesn't say that wording. Only when we have the obligation of the stranger, we have that phrase, Ager B'tocham. And I want to go back to what we said last week in Sefer Shemot, that what's going to define this Hager Gar B'tocham? That's exactly, we find the definition in the laws of Zokukat HaPasach in chapter 12 in Shemot. Let's just review it. What did God tell Moshe? These are the laws of Pesach. Law number one, if you're not Jewish, you can't eat it. Means Korban Pesach is something for the nation. It's our national, it almost has the status of a Korban Tzibur that everybody brings. We eat it. In fact, ideally, you should not eat it by yourself. You have to be part of a group. L'chatchila, you can't, if you're stuck, you're stuck, but you have to do as much as possible to eat it with a group called a Chabura. Now, as we read this, I want to pay attention that not only do we have this law about Korban Nechar, there could be a lot of laws that relate to circumcision, not just about circumcision, but everything that comes with it from Avraham Avinu. What are we told? Now, if you're Jewish, right, and you have a servant, right, or you bought a servant, either a servant was burnt, let's say you had a maid servant who gave birth to a baby who becomes your servant, or you bought a servant, he has to be converted, and then he can eat, right, because he's a member of the household. But a hired help, not someone who you own, but someone whose hire is working for you, living with you, can't eat it because they're not Jewish. Toshav v'sacher. And we have to eat it in the same house. Now, then listen to the phrase. Kol ada iso yasuoto. This has to be done by the entire congregation of Israel, who includes what? The ada iso includes the Ezrach and the Ger. This is going to come up a lot. Ada Israel. The ada iso includes the Ezrach and the Ger, the members of the 12 tribes, with the oval rights, as well as the stranger. Here's our definition. Again, we did this last week. I just want to pay attention to the words. V'chigoyt chager, should a stranger be among you, a stranger, again, who's not converted yet, and he wants to bring a Pesach to God, he wants to join the Pesach, first he has to convert. Himolo kol sachar. Look at the wording. Himolo kol sachar. We see this is not just technical circumcision. This is covenantal circumcision. We'll see from the wording. And then he can come close to make it. Then baya ke ezrach haaretz. Then his status will be like an ezrach. He can never become an ezrach because he's not a member of the 12 tribes. And a male convert can never become a tribe. There's no technical way of doing that. But he becomes a ger, but a ger like an ezrach, which is basically the convert. And therefore, whenever we have keger ke ezrach, it's always going to be a ger who converted. That would be the other definition we're going to find. Now that he's like an Ezrach, but not an Ezrach, but like an Ezrach, the same status, same halachic status. Therefore, he can join the Korban Pesach, even though he didn't go out of Egypt. But since he converted, he's part of the nation. He's part of us, and he's obligated to bring Pesach. And then we have the great concluding line, Torah achad yalechem, the same law applies to Ezrach v'leger gar b'tochachem. And that's my point. This defines for me, Iker gar b'tochachem, or b'tocham. This is exactly the phrase we saw all through Sefer Vayikra, right? Whenever there's an obligation of a stranger to keep our law, it's always Iker gar b'tochachem, or b'tocham. And this, in my opinion, defines it. This is the conversion process that makes him Jewish, doing circumcision and bringing Korban Pesach, and now he's Jewish. And therefore, later in Chumash, whenever I find Hager or Gar B'tochachem, it's always going to be the obligation of the Ger, and he's talking about someone who's converted. Got that? That's my key. That's my anchor to prove my point. Now, because we had these words by the laws of Pesach, I want to show you how it's textually connected to God's covenant with Avraham Avinu. Just want to go a couple verses there that we saw before. I want to review them. God tells Avraham, "Vakimoti briti b'ni u'b'necha." That's the famous brit. That's the brit of brit milah, that between me and you and your offspring, an eternal covenant, the brit olam. Lo'ot lachel Elohim, remember, v'atem tu l'am. He's our God, we're his people forever. And to fulfill that covenant, God's giving us the land of Canaan as nachuzat olam. This will come up a lot in Parshat Bahar. I don't think we'll get there today. And Vayiti Lechem Elohim, and that's the brit. He's your God, we're his people. And then God tells Avram, keep my brit. And what's the brit that you have to keep? Bini b'nechem. See, himol lechem kol zachar. See that phrase, himol lechem kol zachar? Himolo kol zachar. I'm tying those two together. Himolo kol zachar here. By Pesach. The same wording, himolo kol zachar. And this is Avram's conversion to Judaism. And this begins the conversion. And therefore, that phrase is used to become Jewish, to become a convert. Okay? Unmatem, conversion is an od brit that we're God's people. You do it on the eighth day. Who? Yilid bait uviknat kesef kol b'nei nichar. That's the same thing. Himo yimo yilid beitcha minat kasbacha. Vayta briti v'sem devrit olam. If we go back, what did Avram, who has to do? Where do we have yilid bait? Here. Kol evet ish uminat kesef. Umat oto. Mignat kaspacha, that's what Avram had to do. Mila to everyone in his, mignat kaspacha, b'kol b'nei nechar. If you own an eved, it becomes part of your household. Basically, you can't live with someone who's not Jewish. And therefore, if you have an eved full time, you have to convert him. And as soon as you free him, he's what's called, an eved k'nani becomes free, is automatically Jewish. Now, and then we conclude, Arel Zachar, Chumash tells us in Bereshit, who doesn't do Milah, right? He's Chayav Karet, because that's, if you can bring this Od Brit, the symbol that you're a member of the covenant, and you don't do it, the consequence is, it's even though it's a mitzvah to say, the punishment is Karet, you're cut off from your people, because this is a symbol of the Brit. So again, I'm just using, I'm just reviewing what we did last week, just to define the phrase, Ager Go B'tochachem, with the Chiyuv Karet, with Avram's Milah. Now, just a technicality, because we're learning Sefer Bereshit now. After Brit Milah, with Brit Milah, Avram gets his name change. And the Bechira process of only the child of Avram after he has Brit Milah is going to be chosen from Sarah, remember? That was only Yitzchak, Yikarei Lechazara. And then... And basically, the process of Bechira, of God picking the nation, begins here with Brit Milah. And therefore, it makes sense that to convert, the act of conversion, according to Chumash, is circumcision with the intention of becoming Jewish. So what did we review? We had the phrase, which we just defined, but Korban Pesach, Hager Shabbatochachem. We had that same phrase by Yom Kippur, with the Chiyuv Karet, Shchut Echutz, outside the Mishkan, Chiyuv Karet, eating blood and covering the blood with the Chiyuv Karet, and a tameh to nevela, and if you're tameh and you go to the mikdash, you're also chayv karet. And we'll see in a minute arayot in chapter 18 chayv karet will be also the same phrase ager b'tochachem. We'll read that in a minute. Then we have to see. Now what we have to do now is we have to see the other obligations of the ger in chapters 18, 20, and 22. Okay, later next week we'll see the ones in Bamidbar. Now, We just did this. I just did it twice. The same thing. This to find a ger gor p'toch achem. Now, in contrast, the ger, our obligation to the ger, those in the law sections we saw last week, Shmo 21 to 23. That was last week's primary. It's a topic. Copy that from last week. That was last week's primary topic. Chapter 19 is today's topic. The ger in chapter 19 we're going to see now. Now we have to see an example of a ger who's not Jewish. I'm just going to jump ahead for a minute and show you chapter 20 and 22. Let me just open up a chumash. Let me check the chat real fast. What are we up to? And time-wise, we don't have too much time left. Asher has a great question. Classified documents. That's cute. Why did you start making chapter 17? Okay. The first eight psukim of chapter 17, Asher's question, I'll do with next week. It's amazing. Why there's no ger mentioned there? You know, it's that's a great question, and I spend a lot of time on that. But Asher, if I do that now, we won't get anywhere. I have to dedicate an extra shir to Vayikra. Basically, that's talking about, in a nutshell, the first eight psukim is not talking about sacrifices. It's saying, if you want to eat meat, it has to be a korban. We can use that to, it's amazing what Vayikra says. According to Vayikra, if you're Jewish and you want to eat meat, it has to be a korban. And no other way to eat it. But it's not a prohibition where you're chayv karet. It's saying that, what do you call it? It has to be shfichut damim. And they know it's really interesting. It's like you're saying if you eat an animal, not in the context of a sacrifice, it's like shfichut damim. It's like you committed murder. Therefore, it's in the framework of Bnei Noach, but it's only love for the Jewish people. So how do we eat meat today? That's what chulin is. Chulin is basically, we see that in Devarim, if you can't bring a korban, but you still want to eat meat, so what do? You do the same thing as always a korban. You shecht it. You do ritual slaughter. But whatever would have been on the altar, the dam, the blood, and the chelat, the fat that would go on the altar, you don't eat, and that's kosher meat today. But those first eight psukim deal with kosher meat, not with sacrifices. Okay, it talks about sacrifice because the only way you can eat kosher meat is by sacrificing it. But it's not about someone who wants to eat meat, not someone who wants to bring a sacrifice. Now, let's do, so that's chapter 8. The other was Debbie's asking, do you have any idea why the random strangers living among Bnei Yisrael at that time? Why do we have strangers? Debbie, you're asking about in Egypt, why do we have strangers or in the desert?
No, when you're saying that you're discussing the distinction between a ger who's a convert and a ger who's a stranger.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how many strangers, random strangers were there living in Eretz Yisrael at the time? Where did they come from? I thought everybody was either tribal or, I mean.
But when the going gets good, everyone wants to come and, people want to come and join us. People come for business, come for work, foreign workers, maybe you have a wealthy family and they don't want to do dishes. So they bring they hire outside help. They're strangers.
They're talking about a vadim.
No, that's not a vadim. That's a toshav and a sachir. That's a people come and work. We don't own them. They're not live-ins. What do you call them? They're not domestics or au pairs. They're foreigners, but they're living with us. You have an elderly parent. You don't have time to take care of them. But so you hire someone to do it. It happens all the time.
So the original Filipinos.
Yeah, Filipinos and Sudanese and I don't get into ethnic definitions, but
okay.
I think it's in our DNA.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, Yeshayahu says, Bnei Nechar, they're going to come and do our work for us, right? Okay. Also, the Erev Rav, it's like Fran pointed out, the Erev Rav came out of Egypt. In my opinion, they went back before Kriyat Yamsuf, but people joined us. Listen, already in chapter 12 in Shmot, as we're leaving Egypt, bring up the possibility of a ger. I told you, we're assuming there'll be strangers. Now, there's something we'll talk about in a later shir that we want people to visit our country for a short time, for a long time. If they stay, we treat them nicely, they might convert. But let's say they stay for a year or two and they go back to their homeland. When they go back to their homeland and talk about how nicely the Jewish people treated them, when you're a stranger and you're here for a visit, for work, whatever it is, a year, 2 years, 3 years, a couple months, and you get all these handouts and people are nice to you and kind to you, and no one tries to rip you off. in most societies, you take advantage of people like that. And this stranger comes and visits, and he's treated like a king. Or at least as good as a citizen. They treat him nicely. When he goes back to his homeland, he talks about this nation. And that's a way of sanctifying God, spreading the word. So the question is, we don't encourage the ger to convert. If he wants to, he can. But we actually encourage him to go home and spread the word. The ger almost enables, a ger visiting almost enables us to have an impact on other nations. He's almost like our emissary. You know, he becomes he gets the message out. Because, you know, you have someone just visiting for a little bit. So how much can you do? But it's before they had big Chabads that was spreading everywhere. But they became our emissaries. They came on this, like, what do you call it, trip? What do you call those trips?
Birthright.
The birthright trips, yeah. They came out, they're so impressed, they come back and they spread. You know, Zion isn't so bad. We hope. Okay. Now.
May I offer a modern comparison?
Yeah, sure, Asher, go ahead.
Modern in quotations, but I just learned about. But that is food, should be food for thought. Why is there an Armenian quarter in Jerusalem? Why did the Armenians come to live in Jerusalem, Dafka? What was in it for them? And yet they've been here for a long, long time. And there was a motivation that wasn't just to work as immigrant workers that brought them and made them establish a community there. So food for thought.
Yeah, so what you're saying, because the Jews came and traded them well?
No, I think when they came, it wasn't a factor of Jews treating them well. There were other motivations for them to come.
You're saying that there's a natural tendency even of non-Jews to want to visit the Holy Land.
I think it's worth investigating the history of the Armenians, where they came from and why they came and why they have been here for such a long period of time. Through thick and thin, through different kinds rulers, etc. It's worth looking up and trying to understand that history and see whether maybe there isn't a parallel that would cast
Robert
light
on Debbie's question. They came with the Crusaders, so we have to check that out. But
according to Shuli Mishkin, when the entire country converted from paganism to Christianity, a lot of the Armenians decided that they wanted to come to the Holy Land.
Oh, but that was in time of Constantine that was before the Crusaders. Yeah. That was Byzantine.
Long before the Crusaders.
Yeah. Okay, we have to. I knew the British divided it into four quarters, and I know they had a lot of churches there, but I don't know the history of the Armenians. We got lost. I can ask Shuli. He's my neighbor.
Oh, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. Last week we discussed that for Pesach we can understand why a girl would say maybe I'm not hired to come Pesach because I didn't come out of Egypt. But in all the other mitzvahs we mentioned today, that doesn't apply really.
I'll show you something later. Again, we have to do this. I'll deal with that question also. I want to just finish up now. But I see we're not going to finish Vayikra today for sure. Yeah. But what I want to mention in Halachas of Korban Pesach, a non-Jew can eat Pesach, but how about Matzah and Maror? What would you say? If there's a non-Jew at the Seder, in biblical times, can he have Matzah and Maror or not?
Why not?
Yeah, we're allowed to. I might think because it's a package deal. But it's
Matzah
and Maror. Okay, anyway, I want to show you there's lots of laws with Pesach and the Rambam. They're really interesting. They have to do with conversion. But let me, I'm going to finish up. I have 5 minutes. I'm going to finish up. I'm going to get to chapter 19 So you see the contrast? And then next week we'll have to finish up the Megadef and things like that, because that's a little complicated. Yeah. So I'm going to show the contrast now. I'll take 5 minutes and show the contrast to when it's our obligation to the stranger in Vayikra in chapter 19, which is a sharp change of topic in chapter 19, and how it's our obligation to the stranger and why logically it's talking about someone who's not Jewish. So let's take a quick look, and we'll finish with this. Okay. So chapter 19 in Shmot, the end of chapter 19. In the beginning, we talked about Dekat Shichah and Peah. Now, if you ask Rabbi Akiva, what's the big cloud in the Torah? Remember, Vavta Lerecha Kamocha? That's earlier in chapter 19, right? Remember Vavta Lerecha Kamocha? Everyone knows that long Vayikra. Maybe I should open it. Let me just go back. Open up a Chumash. I'm sorry. Let me open up a Chumash and not make too many assumptions. Where's my Chumash? Bereshit. No, we don't want this one. We want a English Hebrew one. Leviticus. Here we are. Okay, Leviticus chapter 19. Okay, very much kedoshim to you. That's what we have to be. Honoring your parents, keeping Shabbat, not turning to gods. Pretty cool. And then say like this. When you're harvesting your field, okay, don't take everything. Don't reap every single crop of wheat and grain. And all that. Instead, what? And the same thing with your vineyard, the same thing with your, you know, your gathering and your fruit harvest, your grain harvest. Instead, the famous Lechet Shichah and Peah. It only makes sense that's even someone who's not Jewish. That's not Dafka or a convert, everybody. Don't ignovu. It's all about good behavior, swearing falsely, not mistreating your friend, not stealing, paying your workers on time, if never lo tite michsho, not to do injustice, not to play favorites. This pasuk that I don't think we pasken by, but you shouldn't be a gossiper. It's hard to go to shul and not do that, but at least it's in chumash. Don't be an innocent bystander. Ani Hashem. You know the old joke. Tell them you hate them. Don't keep it in your heart. It's a joke. Okay. Instead of chech tamitecha. And then don't play, like, don't means when we were in the opposition, you didn't treat us nicely. Therefore, when we're in the government, we're going to be mean to you. So let's say you're a religious Zionist party and you have the opportunity. You were mistreated when you were in the opposition and now you're in government. So are we supposed to do to them what they did to us? And that's how we're going to show them. Or do we follow Sefer Vayikra and Hov Lo Tikom V'Lo Titor? Maybe someone should put this up in the Knesset. Okay. Followed by V'Avta L'Recha Kamocha. Remember? That's Kal Gadol B'Torah, according to Rabbi Akiva, if I'm not mistaken. But that's Re'acha. That's your neighbor, your friend. Okay. Keep my Chukim. We go different laws. And then when you come to land, Orla and Netta Ravai, etc. And then we get the grand finale. B'nei Sevet Takum, Vadat B'nei Zakeim, honor the elderly, etc., and fear God. And finally, okay, V'chigor etcha ger b'artzechem. Got it? Should there be a stranger in your land, don't mistreat him. Don't take advantage of him, don't cheat him. What stranger is this? Not b'tochechem, b'artzechem, in your land. Now, treat him like an Ezrach. Not he has an Ezrach, but treat him like an Ezrach. The ger who's living with you. Now I can do this on my source sheet. 1 second. Let me stop this share and go to my source sheet because I have it all highlighted here. Let's go again. Now, I think this is the grand finale of chapter 19, and it has to relate to the Vavta L'Recha Kamocha that was earlier, before Vavta L'Recha Kamocha. Not only to your neighbors and friends, should there be a stranger land who's not part of your nation. Don't do him wrong. Treat him as you would treat a citizen in your country, okay? Love him as well. I think that's the Klal Gadol Torah that Rabbi Akiva is really talking about. Not only Bavta L'Recha Kamocha, that's a build-up for even the Ger. Okay? Why? Because you are strangers in Egypt, which means it has to be talking about someone not like us. The way we are strangers to the Egyptians, we weren't converts to Egypt, we were strangers in Egypt. And therefore, it's got to be talking about a stranger who didn't convert, or includes a stranger who didn't convert. Okay? And therefore, don't do injustice in anything. No, Don't be unrighteous. All your weights have to be proper, your balances, your weights, your businesses have to be good. And that's why I took you out of Egypt to become a nation to serve me that way. All I'm saying is that this is our obligation to the stranger. It's not his obligation. And therefore, this itchem is referring to ba'artzachem. Got it? It's not betochachem. This is itchem. Therefore, my claim is that this has to be talking about, includes even a stranger who's not Jewish. Now, I don't think it's an idol worshiper or someone who's trying to bring us down or a terrorist or something like that. But a casual stranger in our land who happens to be coming by, we can't take advantage of him. We have to treat him nicely and love him as though he's one of our own. And that's, again, that goes back to the theme of why God chose us to be his model nation. So that's why I want to use that for chapter 19. We don't have time to do chapter 24. We have to do chapter 20, 22, 24. And then we have lots more to do. We also have in chapter 23. We have another like 10 psukim and vayikra to go through. So we'll have to stop here because we'll never finish all of them. So I'm going to stop the share. I'll check the chat real fast. Okay, yeah. Okay, and we'll get the comments now. Okay, so that's the end of the share. We have a lot more to do in Vayikra, but again, my key point was that whenever I have the obligation of the stranger, it's a ger grabatat, it's someone who's converted, we're talking about the conversion process, and the reason, in my opinion, why Chumis mentions him over and over again, because I should just say once, he's obligated, whenever there's an opportunity, when there's a law, where the framework is, if you transgress the punishment, you're cut off from your people, karet. I go out of my way to include the ger to tell us, to scream, the ger is part of, the convert is part of our country. He's one of us, and we have to accept him and treat him like one of us. Okay, now we take questions. Any other questions? We finished the thing. Any other questions about Peh? Or we can, I guess no more questions. That's good. So next week we'll finish up. I think what I'll do next week, I'll take the question in a second. I'll do Bamidbar, we'll see. The laws of Bamidbar that deal with the ger belong in Vayikra. If you know my shiur on Bamidbar in Vayikra. So next week I can do Bamidbar and maybe I'll finish up what we need to do in Vayikra. I'll explain why the laws of Bamidbar belong in Vayikra. And then we're going to have to add a shiur to this anyhow because we're going to do this until Hanukkah time. So we have another 2 extra weeks I'll get from Rabbi Jay. And which is change the schedule a little bit. Okay. Someone had a question.
Yeah, we were about them in Egypt. When were we gerim in Egypt?
It says we were avadim. We were strangers in Egypt.
When
Yosef came down with his brothers.
Okay, that's where
strangers.
I was
going. Strangers. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And in fact, that's why. In Devarim, we're going to find that. Lo tetev mitzri. Don't be mean to an Egyptian. Hey, they brought us in. So later they were mean to us, but they're not like Amalek. They're not like Ammoni and Moavi, who didn't give us anything. They allowed us to come in. They saved us in the famine. I mean, we helped them as well, thanks to Yosef.
Sure.
It says, that's the Devarim, I think, chapter 24, I think. We'll see when we get to Devarim.
Yes, go. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So the ger, Edmund asked a good question. I saw that also. Keger ke ezrach in 19 in Tur. That's right. But that's not keger ke ezrach. That's not adat yisar keger ezrach. Treat them like an ezrach. Treat the ger. That's not ger and ezrach. Treat the ger like an ezrach. So it's different than the other cases we had before. Because we have notes. All the adat yisar does it. The ger and the ezrach. Here it's treat the ger like an ezrach. Be kind to him as well. Okay. Anyway, everyone have a good week. And you know the schedule, I guess. So I don't know the schedule, but I think tomorrow is Dr. Shapiro, I think. He's going to continue with the series he's doing. And the rest of the schedule is all online. Anyway, everyone have a good week. And we'll see you, Mir Sashem, next week.
School, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.